You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We're down to the third and final installment of our series called The Story of Us. And this series is basically a story on biblical anthropology. When we say biblical anthropology, we're talking about who we are and how we relate to God. We're going to talk about several things that has to do with some present social issues and how those things relate to us. Now, previously on The Story of Us, okay, parang TV series lang, and the second installment, we talked about the fall of man. If on the first week, we talked about how God created the heavens and the earth, He made creation, and how awesome and wonderful it was. If in the first week, we talked about our origin, our identity, which is made in the image of God, in His likeness, and our purpose, we came to learn how amazing creation was. On the second week, we came to learn what happened after that. When God created man and woman, and He put them in the Garden of Eden, what happened? And sadly, we came to learn that they were tempted by the serpent, who was Satan himself, and they ate the forbidden fruit. They went against God. And because of that, when they ate the fruit, they did not simply become aware of evil, but they experienced evil to the extent that they became evil. Because they disobeyed God. They sinned against God. The very first people, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. And because of that, they were casted out or kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And there were several consequences because of that. Because of what they did, because of their sin against God, evil, sin, suffering, sickness, and death have plagued the world ever since. Adam and Eve's decision results in every person being born with a sin nature, a tendency to sin. In other words, church, that's why if you look at the world or if you try to assess yourself, that's why it's so easy for us to sin. That's why it's much more easier for us to do something wrong, to do something bad. That's why if you're wondering why there's so much pain and suffering and chaos in the world, it's because of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, sin entered into the world and it marred or distorted all of creation, including the image of God in us. Come before, man was intricately or amazingly, fearfully and wonderfully designed by God. We were all amazingly designed by God, made to glorify God. But because of sin, it distorted the image of God in us. That rather than being able to glorify God to the full extent that we were designed to do, now because of sin, we are more inclined to sin. We now have this sin nature in us, so we're no longer glorifying God the way we should. And that's why there's so much pain, suffering, problems in the world. It all goes back to what Adam and Eve did. When they went against God, they sinned against God, it entered the world and it distorted the world. And as we learned last week as well, because of sin, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Okay, for those of you who remember that, the wages of sin is death. In other words, for everyone who is a sinner, which is all of us, because everyone has sinned. Okay, the Bible says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. For everyone who has sinned, the bad news, the terrible bad news that everyone is in this direct trip, straight route to hell. It's because of our sins. Because again, the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. To be eternally separated from the goodness and the love of God. To be in hell. That's the bad news. And if you think that's pretty sad, pretty depressing, grabe ka sad na. Yeah, it is sad and depressing. If we leave the story right there and then, man, we could go home sad and depressed right now. But good thing the story does not end there, church. Today, for our third installment, we're going to talk about the redemption of man. What did God do? When Adam and Eve fell, when they were persuaded by the temptation of the serpent and they ate the forbidden fruit and they were casted out from the Garden of Eden, what did God do? What was His plan? That we can take hope in this plan, that even if at the present there is still, you know, much pain and suffering in the world, we don't have to be depressed or lose heart about it. What was God's plan in redeeming mankind? And for that, turn to your Bibles and read them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 and 20 to 24. So, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 20, the man called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Verse 24, he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So again, we're in the same chapter that we read last week. This is the same chapter when we discussed the fall of man. And some of you may be wondering, ano kaninga chapter yapon? We've passed through this. But here's the thing. In this chapter, yes, it talks about the fall of man. It talks about Adam and Eve being kicked out of the Garden of Eden and sin entering the world. And if you look at it from a face value perspective, it seems like everything is going downhill. Everything is going from bad to worse. It's like, drain napunta ang story. But here's the thing. Just like in many stories, anyone here, you love watching TV series or movies? In some series or a movie, there's what we call a plot twist. A plot twist is something that writers put in a story, you know, where if you feel like the story is headed in one direction, suddenly, must shift ang story. Suddenly, there's some element in the story that makes the flow of the story change direction. And that's what's happening here. Because in the same chapter, when sin entered the world, God also introduced or revealed this to redeem mankind. In other words, God is not just the initiator of creation, but also of our salvation. God already knew that man would fall, that man would sin. He was not taken aback or shocked na parang, law, saan na ako ni? Nag-sin si Adam and Eve. Now what do I do? He knew and he had the plan. And the very same chapter that we're gonna read, where sin happened and sin entered, God revealed his plan to redeem mankind. I'm gonna read of that tonight. In verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, it says there, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And what we have here, church, is what we call the proto-evangelium. And it basically means the first good news. We know what the good news is. It's the gospel. We keep talking about the gospel, the good news. Here in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, in the story of creation, in chapter 3, God revealed firsthand his plan. This is the first time we get to hear of the good news. His plan to redeem mankind. Now, it's important for us to understand as well what redemption means as we go through this passage. Redemption simply means to buy back or to get or win back something. Okay, if ever you lost something and you need to get it back, redemption is kind of like that. In fact, the term was used specifically in reference to purchase, okay, or to buy a slave's freedom. In their time, sa Hebrew or sa Jewish culture, if nay slave or nay person imprisoned, to redeem someone would be like to buy the person's freedom. And that implies that there was a previous state of being imprisoned or being a slave of something. And the same thing with us in a spiritual sense. Before God, you know, fulfilled or enacted his plan to redeem mankind, we were all slaves to sin. We were all under the power and influence of sin in our lives, that we were all powerless and hopeless to overcome it on our own. Because of sin, the sin in our lives, we were all slaves to it at one point. But thanks to God, he did something that set us free. And we're going to look at what he did. Again, in verse 15, you see there that God here, in this story, in this part of the story of the story of creation, after he had reprimanded and corrected or talked to Adam and Eve what they did, after the truth came out, you know, they ate the forbidden fruit, and Adam said it was the woman's fault, and Eve said it was the serpent's fault, and the serpent, wala siya matudluan, so napungkol siya dito, God punished each of them. Si Adam, si Eve, and the serpent. And the serpent was the first to receive God's punishment. And God told the serpent, for the rest of your life, you're gonna crawl in the ground. That's why the serpent, wala na legs, okay, mag-crawl-crawl na siya. And to Eve and to Adam, he gave them specific punishments as well. But in verse 15, it says here, this is God talking to the serpent, who is Satan himself. This is not just some common animal. This is the devil. But there is taking on the form of a serpent or possessing a serpent. The point is, God is addressing Satan in this passage. Okay, the deceiver, the devil, he is talking to him and he's telling him, I will put enmity between you and the woman being Eve, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. But God is trying to tell her that there's going to be this conflict between Eve or the woman and the serpent and then their offspring as well. Nag-escalate ang conflict ani. At first layer, says here, between you and the woman. And next, it says here, between your offspring and her offspring. Or in some translations, your seed and her seed. And the last part says there, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now the word he there pertains to the offspring or the seed of the woman. In other words, church, what we have here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is a foreshadowing. Diba kabante mo, if na upcoming movie, na yung trailer, diba, a release, a teaser trailer or a trailer to get you hyped up for the movie to come. Here's the thing. In Genesis chapter 3, 15, this was the foreshadowing of what God was going to do to redeem mankind. That there was going to be a seed of the woman who shall bruise the head of the serpent. And this right here is a promise of hope. Now, even though from Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 down to 24, puro na sila curses and punishments. You know, Adam and Eve receiving punishment and curses and being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you get this promise of hope. That yes, at the moment, everything seems bad. Adam and Eve lost their fellowship with God, kicked out of the garden, and they sin against God. But there is a promise of hope. That one day, God is going to send someone, a savior, to redeem mankind. Someone, a seed of the woman, who would crush the head of the serpent. And that is Jesus, church. I believe many of us are familiar with the all-famous verse, John 3:16, di ba? There's one verse that you probably memorized. It's probably John 3:16. You guys know what John 3:16 is, di ba? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It talks about God sending Jesus into the world. Well, Genesis chapter 3:15 is of the same breadth. It's the same kind. It talks about this Savior coming into this world who would redeem us. He would accomplish several things. The first of which is that he would destroy evil. In verse 15, again, it says here, he shall bruise your head, talking to the serpent. He, the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Satan bruises the seed's heel, but the seed crushes Satan's head. As some translations would put it. You see, to bruise the head is a picture of fatal and final destruction. Diba, it's one thing may go ka sa ulo ni mo, ma-concussion ka. It's a pretty serious thing. But to bruise the heel is a picture of damage, which is neither fatal nor final. If you remember, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died on the cross. And that right there, Christ's death on the cross was a wound rendered by Satan. It was part of all his schemes, plans. If you remember, during Jesus' time here on earth, there were many plans and schemes to kill him. All of that was an effort of the enemy. In fact, you know, at one point, the devil tried to tempt Jesus. And here, on his death on the cross, it was a wound rendered by Satan. Much like the serpent, you know, bruised the heel of Jesus. But, okay, though Jesus died on the cross, the plot twist was, again, much as there was a plot twist in Genesis chapter 3, the plot twist here was that Jesus did not stay dead. Though the devil would rejoice, you know, and probably with all of his minions, parang, yay, napatay na to si Jesus. But guess what? 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He received a wound from Satan, but it was neither fatal nor final. Jesus rose back from the dead. Christ's resurrection naman and exaltation destroys Satan forever. Let me read a couple of verses that talks about Jesus destroying the works of the devil and ultimately the devil himself. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says here, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy, to undo, to counteract the works, schemes, plans of the devil. In us, all around us, all the things that the devil is trying to do, he came to destroy that. In fact, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we get the picture of the final destiny of the devil. It says here, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. A conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, or between Jesus and the devil, ends with Jesus' triumph. Ends with Jesus destroying evil. In fact, in Romans 16, verse 20, this is something we can take comfort in. It says here, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It says here, God's going to crush Satan. He's not just going to crush it anywhere. It says here, he's going to crush Satan under your foot. Not literally speaking. But the point here is we get to be partakers. The redeemed. Those people who are part of God's family now. Those people who are in Christ. We get to partake in Christ's triumph. In Christ's victory. We get to be on the winning side. We get to celebrate with Jesus. When he finally destroys evil. When he destroys the devil. When we talk about Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And God's plan to redeem mankind. It involves him sending Jesus and destroying evil. The second part is restoring man's relationship with God. As I said earlier, because of sin entering into the world, it distorted creation. It marred, it destroyed a lot of things in creation. If in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says here, creation was very good. Okay? If an original state of creation was very good, when you say very, it means very intensely good. Picture a paradise. That was creation. But because of sin that entered into the world, it's like getting a stain on your favorite shirt or favorite blouse, grabbing a hugaw, or seeing vandalism or graffiti on somewhere. Because of sin, it distorted and destroyed God's creation. And that included not only God's image in us, but our relationship with God as well. If you remember, when Adam and Eve fell, after they ate the fruit, they felt ashamed. They covered themselves. They tried to hide themselves from God. And of course, later in verse 23, we see here, God sent him out, talking about Adam, out from the Garden of Eden. He kicked out siya. In verse 24, he drove out the man. Twice, repeated. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were driven out. It implies force. It was not like gibeg nga Adam puli kang pahawa. No, they were literally driven out of the Garden of Eden. You see, the entry of sin into the world led to a loss of fellowship with God. The entry of sin into the world resulted in our fellowship, intimacy with God. It resulted in that being lost. There is now this separation between us and God. That is why, if ever you felt like God is distant, you felt like, Lord, dug ni mo prayers, Lord. You felt like you can't feel God. You felt alone. Somehow you feel like layo si God. That's because probably of a sin problem in our lives. Our sins have separated us from God. And if you ever wonder, nga naman di pwede magstay na lang si Adam and Eve sa Garden of Eden? Why can't they just stay there? Well, sin and righteousness cannot exist together. God is holy. Man is not. God is good. Man is not. It's like trying to go into the middle of the sun. If you travel into the sun, how many of you know init ang sun? Diba, init ang sun, diba? The closer you are to the sun, the hotter, of course, it's gonna get until eventually we will melt and burn. And it's kind of like that with God. God's presence or God himself is so good, so pure, so holy that no amount of evil, impurity, and unrighteousness or sin can exist with God. They can't coexist together. That's why man had to be separated from God. Otherwise, they would just die. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But good thing God did not give up on them. You see, God could have just simply let go of man. He could simply given up. He could have simply undo everything. Okay, Adam and Eve fell. I'll just erase them and create a new creation. But God did not abandon them. In verse 21, after God confronted them, told them where they were, and they were hiding, covering themselves in fig leaves, the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. He clothed sila ni God. The man was clothed by God. Now here's the thing. for them to get those garments of skins, it implies one thing, that something or some creature had to die. Someone had to die. If you remember, the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve might not have immediately died, but they ultimately died. But in that moment where they sinned, the cost of something covering them from their sin, those skin garments, someone had to die for that. Some creature had to die for that. And that right there is another foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he came into the picture, when he came to this world. Again, remember, a seed of the woman would come to crush the serpent and destroy evil. And the way he did that was through his death on the cross. A while ago, we were singing that song, that special number, that talks about the beautiful love that God did, that God displayed through Jesus dying on the cross. Him dying on the cross was necessary. You might ask, ganun man kailangan madugo, but it had to be crucified. No, bloody man kayo. Maybe you've ever wondered that is the thing. That was necessary. That was necessary because his death was in exchange for our life. Redemption is only possible through his blood. Blood was needed for redemption to be possible. If you remember, again, Adam and Eve received skin garments. Blood was shed so that their shame and their sin could be covered. And it was God who personally clothed them. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says here, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That is why Jesus willingly died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed on the cross for our sins. It's not just some trickle of blood. No, they're talking about buckets of blood here. He was pierced on his side, crowned with thorns, whipped, nailed to a cross. He shed an enormous amount of blood. And that was also that we could receive redemption, so that our sins may be forgiven. And what's the point of our sins being forgiven? Okay, blank slate, wala nang sins. What's the result of that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 to 19 says here, because of what Christ has done, what did Christ do? He died on the cross for our sins. He came in this world for you, for me. It says here, we can come to the Father by one Spirit. We can come to the Father. Our fellowship, our intimacy, our access to God, which was lost when Adam and Eve sinned against God, it has now been restored. Our relationship with God has been restored. But whatever is your background, whether you're a Filipino or not, or taga-asa ka gikan, in Christ, we can come to the Father. Verse 19 says here, so then you are no longer strangers or people far away, but you live with God's people and belong to God's family. Take note, it says there, you are no longer strangers. At one point, we were enemies of God. We were not just strangers. We were enemies of God because we were sinners. Every day of our lives, we go about our days actively sinning and rebelling and raising a fist against God, whether we knew it or not. But because of what Christ did in Him, through redemption in Him, we are no longer strangers, but we are part of God's family. We're not just part of God's people, we are part of His family. Tell your other seat mate for a while, family. We're not just servants of God. Yes, we serve God, we obey God, we're called to do so, but we are His family. You are a son or a daughter of God. Our identity and our purpose has been restored. Not just our relationship with Him, but our identity. Remember, we were made in the image and likeness of God, but because of sin, it was distorted. But now, in Christ, that image has been restored. That identity and purpose has been restored. You are a son and daughter of God. Church, if you're here today and you're a believer of Christ, you're part of His family, you are a son and daughter of God. And your purpose is to glorify Him wherever you go. Romans 5 verse 18 says here, Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Adam's disobedience led to the condemnation of the entire human race. But Christ's one act of righteousness, His death on the cross, and His resurrection brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because of what Christ did, there is this new life and a right standing before God. Think of it this way. It's not because of your good deeds that you have a right standing with God. In fact, the Bible says our good deeds are like filthy rags. Imagine yung pinakahugaw ng trapo ma-think nimo. Inanang good deeds nato. No matter how much we brag of our good deeds, they're like filthy rags. We can never say, Lord, I deserve to be with you. I deserve to be in heaven because I did all of His things. No. It's all because of what Christ did for us. His one act of obedience, of righteousness, of redeeming us, that we get to have a right standing before God. That when God looks at us, He doesn't look at us and say, Kanisha did this, did that, complete total record of every sin. No, your sins have been washed away, wiped away. That's like the original state of mankind has been restored in us through Christ. You see, Jesus paid the price for our release from sin and its consequences. What we couldn't do, Jesus did. He paid the price. Take note, there was a cost to our freedom, to our redemption. You see, when you have to redeem something, remember, you have to buy it back or win it back. There is a cost to that. And the cost was Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. Jesus paid the price for our release from sin, from the slavery of sin. So we can be freed and we can be made righteous. And we have been freed from its consequences. If before we were on this track to hell, to eternal separation with God because of the wages of sin, now because of that blood twist, because of what Jesus did. When you are in Christ because of what He did, now you're headed in a different direction. Now you get to spend the rest of your life in Him. As John chapter 3 verse 16 says, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life in Him. And this, my friends, this church is our story. The whole story of creation is God creating man, man failing and sinning against God, and God redeeming man. And here's the thing, when God redeemed man, that was not the final end to it. No, salvation is not the end goal that we're pursuing. It's the starting point of our new life in Christ. The amazing thing here is that salvation, start pa na. There's a lot more things to go. There's a lot more amazing things God's gonna do in us and through us. In fact, there's a lot more that we can look forward to. Because yes, our identity and purpose has been restored by Christ. But in the future, we're going to experience what we call glorification. We're going to experience glorified bodies. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with God for the rest of eternity. In a place where there's no longer any pain, no suffering. In a place where God's going to wipe away every tear. In a time and place where you cannot have tears. No tears of sadness. What we have here is but a glimpse of the many great things God is going to do in the future. His final victory over evil. That is why, as we talk about our story, we shouldn't lose heart, church. This right here, again, is a message or a promise of hope. Promise of hope which Jesus paid for us to experience.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.